Hola, everybody. Welcome to episode number 72 of the Nitro Beard Beardcast. I'm your host, Mr. Wes Gardner. Over there in that sensual corner, we have Mr. Brian Belita.
Hey, everybody. I'm Brian Belita, and I'm still wearing my business socks. Tonight, we're also joined by Imran Khan.
I didn't do it.
Matt Pierce.
I was breaking a new pair of pajamas. Woo!
and the world-renowned Mark Bradshaw.
I hate Nintendo.
Actually, did you know that the number 72 is the Nintendo is the 72 pin connector? Has some sort of 72 pin connector associated with it.
That's right.
I hate this podcast.
Oh, that's so much.
In addition to that, if you go to greatdreams.com/72.htm, there's a whole page about how the tabernacle and has some significance with the number 72, mm-hmm. because this guy had a dream over the last 10 years. And it wasn't until he had access to the internet that he could easily find out what it meant through the research computer.
So you see, there's some
research computer.
He went to the mainframe and he found out what it meant. That's good.
Such things. There's a religion out there that has some kind of bullshit significance to some bullshit random number.
Right. Yeah. But we also realized that
I'm sorry if I just pissed him off. I thought that was terrible. My apologies.
Anyways, yes. Room temperature. Yeah. So 72 is also allegedly room temperature. Mm-hmm. I don't know about your guys' rooms, but that's like 2 degrees too hot for me.
Yeah. Can you really feel those 2 degrees?
I can, honestly.
Really?
Like the difference between 69 and just shut up. Between 69 and 70 in my house is like a long sleeve shirt or a short sleeve shirt for me.
Wow. No, I, you know, that sort of makes sense.
The difference between 72 and 69 is my house is no clothes at all.
I thought that's all the time at your house, Mark.
No, there's windows. I have to have clothes on sometimes.
But anyways, so we were making this one a beer bag mailbag episode.
That's right.
So we asked you fine folks on Twitter to ask us some questions. We got some questions on Twitter. We attempted to do something with the hashtag beard bag hashtag. And it didn't really work out, except for Piss and Poik 007 off.
Yeah.
Who's one of our French fans, French Canadian.
That's right.
Hi, Poik.
What is hello in French?
Oui.
Bonjour.
It's not oui.
Bonjour, yeah.
It's oui. So right now it'd be bonsoir.
Bonsoir.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Bonsoir. You always have to add the ha-ha-ha part.
Je m'appelle Audnus Belida.
Omelette du fromage.
Yes, always omelette du fromage. So we got a bunch of questions. We're going to talk about some other things. I don't even know what's going to happen. This is going to be kind of a random grab bag episode. Mm-hmm. So let's ask some questions about some things, unless there's anything else of pressing importance that we should discuss.
No?
Well, then, it's so.
It's like not a single thing has happened in the entire world. So
nothing. Okay, so let's see. So our first question... and I don't even know if we should ask because he keeps so Blaze Hedgehog Ryan Bloom, who's been on the podcast not while I've been around as of yet, which is mildly suspicious.
Yeah, I think you're the
who
same.
Is he? Is he me?
I think you're the same person.
So, anyways, he keeps winning things. He wins all this shit all the time. Apparently,
yeah, he popped up today. It's like, oh, I guess I don't need a headset. I won this $130 one.
Yeah, he won some headset with like 82.5 surround sound. I didn't even know they were there yet.
Not just some headset, one from that Razer company we were talking about.
Yeah, with how cool their promos are.
I hope it
did. It's all Star Wars themed.
Yeah, did he epic win it? Is it an epic win?
Was it a super uber win?
Did he win a headset or headset all in caps?
I think it should be new that he won a Razer headset, which we were like making horrible fun of on a previous podcast.
Wait, wasn't he on the podcast? Or no, that was Matt's first podcast.
Maybe that's it. Maybe that's the secret. Maybe like we make fun of something and Blaze wins it, and Ryan wins it.
Man, houses sure are stupid.
Yeah, houses are stupid as hell, man.
You seen this?
Same with student loans,
man. Talk about
I don't know. I don't know that I necessarily want him to win some student loans.
How about we say like syphilis is stupid? Maybe that'd be easier on him.
Yeah, he'll win. We all win, I guess.
That would make for an interesting next episode of his Let's Play of Max.
Yeah, he's like, I just want to get this out in the open.
Right. I walked into my room at night. It was still burning, itching. Anyways, so that dude's question is, if two wrongs don't make a right, what do two ninjas make? I thought two wrongs did make a right.
No.
No? But, I mean, the whole negative is like a negative and a negative is a positive.
Yeah, but no, two wrongs.
Let's ask Wolfram Alpha.
Man, whatever. Here's my question.
Go to AskJeeves.com.
In Bad Dudes, would you consider the bad dudes ninjas?
You no, they mean like the ninjas.
Yeah, you mean like the actual people or?
No, the video game Bad Dudes versus Dragon Ninja.
Yeah.
Are the bad dudes considered ninjas because they act like ninjas and they can fight with ninja weapons?
No.
They do look a lot like the guy from American Ninja.
They sure do. So two ninjas make up Bad Dudes versus Dragon Ninja.
So if you type in ninja plus ninja into Wolfram Alpha, you get side-by-side comparisons of the same movie. Revenge of the Ninja, directed by Sam Furstenberg, written by James R. Silk. It's an action slash drama, a ninja drama.
Ninja drama.
Ninja drama, yes. It was ranked third in the week of September 18th, 1983.
Hmm.
And screened 504 times in the weekend ending October 9th.
Wow. All
right.
I don't know what total receipts mean, but apparently it had $10.3 million in total receipts.
So two ninjas make $20
million. Yeah, that's right. So just that movie twice released again.
Yeah, that's not a bad deal. I'll take
now,
that.
Now, if you had three ninjas, you could make Ninja Warriors again.
Actually, apparently two ninjas equals a baby. And an awkward photo. Yeah. Those are two dudes, though, it looks like. Maybe not, though.
No, three,
three ninjas is a terrible movie.
Three ninjas. I mean, not that there's...
So three ninjas are surf ninjas? Because they both came out around the same time.
Yeah, they did. But, I mean, surf ninjas has the upper hand because the kid played a Game Gear that told the future.
Wait.
Oh, man.
I think we're forgetting about...
that at all.
I think
that was like the big climax of the movie. Is he was using the Game Gear to beat the villain.
For the final confrontation.
God damn.
There's also Three Ninjas Kick Back.
No, but those kids are bastards. We don't talk about them.
Apparently, there was a nine and a half ninjas in.
See, my mind immediately went to nine and a half.
1991
ninjas.
They.
Well, okay, hold on. All right, so apparently, I googled two ninjas, and the second result is Nine and a Half Ninjas on IMDb. Came out in 1991, and the description is the first erotic martial arts action comedy.
Oh, we have to have a group viewing of this. Just to...
Wait, 1991? It couldn't possibly be the first.
It's the first erotic martial arts action comedy. So not just erotic martial arts.
Well, it's actually just a retelling of 9.5 weeks.
It looks like it's actually German.
Oh.
Die erste erotische Action Comedy.
Oh, no.
Sinnlich chaotisch und sexy Kung Fus.
Where they make the best ninjas.
Yeah, the David Hasselhoff soundtrack.
It's actually just a retelling of 9.5 weeks, only every time like Kim Basinger tries to make out, like ninjas show up.
Yeah, here's my thing. Is the qualifier of erotic, is that for the martial arts? Or is that for just the movie in general? Like, arts erotic?
Erotic is what you make of it, baby.
Yeah. It's got, like, it doesn't even have nine and a half ninjas on the cover. It's got 1, 2, 3, 4. It's got 5 ninjas. One's holding, like, a devil's pitchfork. One's holding a ninja sword, and one's holding a red chainsaw.
Cool.
It's not very ninja.
Or erotic. I found nothing erotic.
No. No, but hold on. So that's like kind of in the background. Then there's like this arch with a picture of a typical early 90s, you know, sexy woman in lingerie on a pole.
How big is her hair?
It's big. Oh, man. It's bigger, it's bigger than a chainsaw.
That's the rest of the cover.
Yeah, that's why they couldn't fit more ninjas on there. That bitch has crazy big hair.
Yeah, I wonder if they have any screen. They don't have any screen caps. Yeah, I think we definitely need to arrange some sort of viewing of this.
I think we do a sync tube of this. That'd be pretty great.
Yeah. Ooh. Anyway, so that's apparently two ninjas equal an awkward family photo and a action comedy erotic movie.
Yeah.
Thanks for your question, Ryan Bloom.
Good one.
Apparently, one of the guys in this movie was also in The Dark Knight.
What? Which one?
Tommy Lister. Tommy. He was a prisoner in The Dark Knight.
Oh, I know. That's Zeus. The wrestler Zeus. He was the
Really?
Tallest black dude. Yeah.
Tommy, quote-unquote, Tiny Lister. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, that looks like... Hold on a second. No, that's...
He's been in a lot of shit.
158 movies.
Yeah.
That's not his real name, though. That's... Apparently that is his real name. No, I thought that wasn't
his name. Are you about to say that's your uncle or something?
No. So we're talking about the guy. He was the... He was the president in The Fifth Element. Yep. He's got like crazy eyes. He's big and bald.
Oh, so he was the prisoner that threw out the bomb in Dark Knight.
Okay. So, yes.
Yeah.
And he was in an erotic ninja thriller.
that's where he got his big break, man.
That seals the deal.
That is a big break.
Yeah. These are some great names, though. I'm running down the list of Nine and a Half Ninjas of the names of the characters. We've got Joe Vogue, Lisa Thorne, Arnold Gruber, Gladys Vogue, Cutter, Sledge, Dimitri, Mr. Ninja, Zelda, Isaac, Master Young Joe. Oh, man, Young Joe.
There's also an
old man. Mr. Ninja.
Yeah, there's this old man. So, anyways. All right, so next question comes from, Emerson Pug. What's his real name? I mean, it's Hanku. We know him as Hanku. He's written a rant about Dead Space 2 as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
As Modern Warfare, and is it Pug?
I think so.
We're sorry for butchering your name, but it can't be as bad as me doing Brian Loper when it apparently it's Laper.
Emerson Flynn, apparently.
Right, yeah, Emerson. Oh, Flynn. Okay, I got that off.
Just a little.
Hopefully,
bit.
I have the right person here. All anyways. Right. So I have to mention that like a lot of these questions were asked in all caps. So if they were written in all caps, I'm going to ask them in all caps.
Yeah.
So anyways, Hanku asks, why Ninja Gaiden 3?
That's actually a very good question.
Is that the new one coming out?
Yeah. I don't know.
Mark, I think you're our resident expert.
Yeah.
I cannot in good conscience recommend Ninja Gaiden 3. I don't need a ninja game making me feel bad about being a ninja. Like, fuck you. I'm playing this game to like cut dudes in half. Don't give me a guilt trip. Fucking video game. I'm saying is play some Devil May Cry instead.
What about Bayonetta?
Well, you can do that too.
But here's the thing, Devil May Cry sucks stuff. Now.
Yeah, that's a good point.
We live in a world where there's pretty much only one good action game.
Yeah. It is Bayonetta. Because they haven't managed to ruin that yet.
But I don't think Ninja Gaiden 3 is going to be significantly worse than 2. And 2 was pretty bad.
Yeah, 2 was kind of rough. I don't know. I always felt that Ninja Gaiden was the middle child. Because you had God of War, which I hated. Then you had Ninja Gaiden, which I thought was just okay. And then I loved Devil May Cry.
Well, here's the thing. When Ninja Gaiden came out for the Xbox, that was like the best of its type, bar none.
Right.
That 3D action brawler sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. See, but looking at 2, I think they kind of lucked into the first one. Like, they made a lot of that by accident.
Yeah, I think they had like one really good idea in Ninja Gaiden 1 and didn't really know where to go with that.
Mm-hmm.
So, armadillos. Sure. I have some armadillos. Let's use that. Cool.
See, the bigger problem is, like, the base fighting system in Ninja Gaiden 1 was a very balanced attack and defense.
Yeah.
But they put it way more towards attack in Ninja Gaiden 2, and that threw the game off a lot.
Yeah.
And I think what they were trying to do was maybe ease off that in 3, but it just comes off as sort of awkward because enemies are running from you.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's going to be as bad as people think it is. So it's probably not going to be worth $60, but...
Right.
I think it's going to be, like, average, and I don't think people really want that out of Ninja Gaiden at this point. We need a follow up to Bayonetta. And we really haven't seen that, so it may wind up that they need to do
a team up game. Ninja Gaiden versus Bayonetta.
They're kind of
the last
doing that.
Words were that Bayonetta 2 was canceled, so we'll see what happens with that.
Ew. Doesn't sound good for Platinum.
So there were a number of ninja related questions, and Ryan
These are the
Bloom.
Best.
Those are the best kinds of questions. So, and Ryan Bloom got kind of mad that Hanku was moving on his ninja asking question territory. So Hanku followed up with, okay, why is Blaze a big jerk?
Because he wins everything.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. If you want to win things, kids, be a big jerk.
That's right. That's a lesson in life. That's what we're going to teach our young ones. Just be an asshole, and then you'll get 9.1 surround sound headphones for free called
to play all your 7.8 rated games.
And it's
so and then he also asked a little bit later on Twitter, given the leaked details on ED for ME3, Mass Effect 3, how less excited are you for the final chapter? And I must have missed that because I haven't really been stalking information.
Do you guys want me to just go ahead and say what it is?
Well,
I heard one horrible thing, and I can't imagine that it's actually true. But is it true?
That's the art for it.
Okay, hold on. Mark Bradshaw, put your headphones
off. Yeah, put your headphones. I don't mind hearing this, but a disclaimer.
Put your headphones off.
Yeah.
But we'll bleep it or whatever when we actually do air it. But basically, there was art for Edie as a squad mate. And the description for the art says, "We knew Edie had to be sexy and metallic."
Aww.
Yeah. So she has like this robot suit with like boobs.
Oh.
That's kind of the thing I heard, but the thing I heard was that part of the one of the optional things you can do is get her and Joker into a relationship.
I'm sure that's possible, and that's going to be much worse.
Oh God.
That sounds terrible.
Have you ever fucked a Clayton Titan class spaceship?
It's almost as awkward as that. Did you guys ever watch Andromeda with Kevin Sorbo?
Okay, I'm back. If you assholes spoil this, I'm going to track you down.
It might be better if we spoil.
Actually, you know what, Mark? No, you would understand this the most. Your representation on the about page is Gradius with a beard, or the spaceship. No, wait, what was it? Yeah, the spaceship with a beard, right?
It's just a squad mate, but don't click this link I'm posting, Mark, if you don't want to see it.
Okay, I'm not going
to. So, anyways, so as much as Mark didn't want to hear it, he would be the one to understand it the most, given his bearded representation.
Okay, wait a minute, wait.
Don't click that, Mark.
Is the Vic Viper in the game? Because.
Yes.
Do you know how Vic Viper turned into a robot until
fuck,
he enters?
Fuck you, why'd you do that? Yeah, I did.
No, this is not great. At all like that. This is actually creepy and weird.
Yeah.
Think about that, but for BioWare fans.
Yeah.
So it turns into...
Oh, I can't wait to see Lightning Tactics. What was his name? Lightning Tactics?
Thunder Tactics, yeah.
Thunder Tactics, I can't wait to see his take on this.
Yeah.
Anyways, so I don't know how less excited am I. I don't know. I'm still pretty excited for Mass Effect 3. I think.
It's gonna be stupid, but who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. It was stupid in Mass Effect 2.
It did seem, just from footage that I have seen of it, that they're trying to, I don't know, maybe take a page out of Uncharted's book by having a lot of like cinematic. Oh, something broke away and you're falling and sliding down it, and it looks awesome. Like right. In the middle of gameplay. I don't know. Maybe I'm completely wrong from the videos I saw, but. I'm sure I'll enjoy it. I'm sure some things will be different. I hope I don't have to deal with Origin in order to play it.
You probably will.
Yeah, you do. They confirmed it was Origin only.
Yeah. But here's the thing. My only worry, because I know it's going to be a good game, but I want it to be a great game. And I don't want parts of it to retroactively mess up Mass Effect 2.
Well, here's the thing with Mass Effect 3. We've been waiting for this game for, 4 or 5 years now? Something along those lines.
No, probably only maybe 2.5.
I don't think it's been like
Mass Effect 3. It came out January of 2010.
Yeah.
But I mean, like the first Mass Effect. We've been waiting for this thing to be finished.
Sure.
Yeah, there's no way it can possibly hope to live up to what we want it to be.
Right.
So just just walk. Just
honestly,
accept it for what it is.
All BioWare would have to do to make it be what people want to be is just. Show Tali and just it.
Yep.
Just finish it off with that.
Yep. Just a big old sploosh.
Little human quorium babies.
That's right. That's all.
What would their sweat taste like?
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Like
That's crossing the line, Imran. Those are babies.
This is the fan base that they have to appeal to. And here's the deal. I do agree with you, Mark, that I don't think BioWare can live up to whatever expectation. But in my opinion, it's the fan base's fault for having that expectation in the first place.
No, I think there's certain things that they should be expected to do. And I think that the Mass Effect series, like, if my choices don't matter in Mass Effect 3, then fuck it, that's pretty stupid.
Yeah.
Well, I agree with that, but that's kind of what BioShock was about.
I mean my choices from previous games. Like in
Right.
They were basically just, I remember you from Mass Effect 1.
Right.
Here's an email.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of the entire point of having like your one
persistent character
from Massive. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you buy it across one system so you can carry this guy across. The story is supposed to mean something. That was the entire hook.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're just...
What's the difference between you being Shepard and you being Jacob in Mass Effect 2?
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's what I agree with. And
what's the point difference between it being like a Final Fantasy game? If you're going to do this, then just redo the storyline so it works. Right. You don't have to cram Mass Effect 2 in there.
But I mean, I think the way they're going to do it is the same way they handled the whole Rex situation. Is, well, if Rex, you know, spoilers for Mass Effect, if Rex died in Mass Effect 2, or
also you're a monster.
1, then they gave you someone who looked identical to Rex. Identical, like a clone of Rex.
But you find Rex. It still had some meaning. Regardless of like whatever you did, it had some meaning in the next game.
Yeah. And see, that's essentially the biggest choice you make in Mass Effect 1 is what to do with Rex.
Yeah.
And the way they handled that choice in Mass Effect 2 was two identical character models. Yep. One you call Rex and one you don't.
Yes. And see, that's the thing. Okay, if I go back, and because I'm going to do another playthrough of Mass Effect 2, I want to kill every single person in my party. And the reason why is I want the opening for Mass Effect 3 to start and be like, well, Shepard, you really fucked up the last one. Here's a new set of recruits. Are they going to do that? No. There's no way. They're all going to be cryogenically frozen, and they didn't really die. But
were they had, like, DNA
yes.
that they cloned?
So, no, yeah. We already know the answer to do our choices mean anything, and the answer is no.
But, well, there was a character in Dragon Age 1 that you could fight and decapitate.
Right.
And she will happily be in Dragon Age 2.
Yes.
Like, she'll just, like, oh, I was great friends with the Warden.
Yeah.
I was like, what's no, up? I cut your head
the
off.
Champion!
Wait a minute, doesn't Dragon Age 2, like, happen well before Dragon Age
it's
1?
It's a time,
after.
Yeah. It's a kind of one of those time deals. But, yeah, majority of it takes place after. I mean,
it's a great thing they've done by allowing you to have a persistent character. Oh god, my cat just hopped on my lap, and there's tons of static electricity coursing through my veins and headphones. That was weird. That was really weird. Anyways,
cat just made it a hostage situation.
But so I mean, yeah, like I said, it's a great thing they've done letting you kind of keep this persistent character through. But yeah, Emerald's right. I mean, if they don't really do anything with it, then it's rather pointless, other than the fact that you don't have to make your same guy look the same way if you want to do that.
Yeah, but I think there's just too many choices, so that everything has to be, like, separated out now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're going to have, like, an event for, best case scenario, they'll have an event for if you freed the Rachne Queen.
Correct.
They'll have an event for if you chose the Quarians over to Geth.
Right.
So,
but I don't think it's going to all matter in a larger story
no,
sense.
No. But I mean, yeah, have there been any other games in recent history that have done that?
No.
I mean, I'm sure...
Across
several
games?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, allow you to kind of keep a persistent character.
I want to say, like, the Goldbox D&D games. I mean, but that's basically just, like, importing, like, your leveled-up character and you just move them to a different
right.
game. It's not like...
Right, I mean, yeah. like, in, you know, in Titan Quest, you could, you know, bring in your same character to Immortal Throne and stuff like that. But I mean, there weren't any really choices or anything that may have followed you as far as,
yeah,
you know, your...
Yeah, the last time this type of gameplay worked was in Baldur's Gate.
Yeah.
I think Witcher does, but like not significantly. Hmm. Just, you know,
right.
Oh, you made this decision way back when.
Because you're still Geralt, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. That's pretty neat.
I would like to think that, you know, given like if Bethesda had like more of a focus on like just bringing like games together, that they could do this. Because it seems like the main reason why BioWare can't do this is because EA won't allow them to produce content that everybody won't see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it comes to that. I think that's kind of a good qualifier, is the fact that you can bring your character between all three games, is that for story reasons, or so that you can buy all three Mass Effects?
Right, so it's incentive for you to buy the other games.
Right.
That was a given when they announced a trilogy. That's sort of a thing in like sci-fi series. You know, mm-hmm. If you buy one book in a sci-fi series, you're fucking buying all 11 of those damn things.
Yeah, exactly.
That's kind of a trope with the whole idea.
Yeah.
Think about it the other way around, though. How hard would it be to sell Mass Effect 3 to a new audience if you had to have Mass Effect 1 and 2 to get the good ending?
Right.
Yeah.
They're limiting their player base. Even if a ton of people bought Mass Effect 2, by nature, by making a trilogy, you're already segmenting off.
Well, that's why you can make that shitty motion comic they do these days.
Right, yeah.
Right.
And then Shepard met Rex.
Fill in the gaps.
He made this decision. I mean,
yeah, you'd have to make it a choose-your-own adventure motion comic.
That's true, yeah. It'll be interesting to see how they... Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not sure it'll be interesting, but I'm sure it'll be funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, there'll be things to say about it one way or another.
I just want it to be over. I would just be happy if like they can somehow bring two and one into the same universe, because it really seemed like they had Jack all do with the other stuff from the characters, and just give me a coherent ending for the series.
Because I'm just excited because I'm ready to get some fucking mining done, man.
Hell yeah, bitches. I'm ready for some awkward vehicular combat.
I'm looking forward to cover just popping up in the middle of a hallway.
Yeah.
The best kind of cover.
This is how things are done in the future.
That's right.
We hate shins.
So thanks for your questions.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever's name I got wrong. So we got a question from George Cavalines, another one in all caps, asking, how soon are all of you buying no, maybe it's just
Street Fighter 4
Arcade Edition PC to kick my ass on it. There's no question mark, but we're going to include one because it's a question.
It's $40, so not soon.
Can I just say there's something inherently dirty in buying an arcade game for the PC?
Is there?
You just plug in your arcade stick. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, it just feels wrong. It just feels wrong on a fundamental level. It feels
Speaking
wrong.
Speaking of plugging in your arcade stick, did you hear about that Mass Effect 3 thing?
Oh, fuck
you. Saying.
Fuck you. damn you.
I don't. I. You know what? I don't own any fighting games on a computer. I think. I mean, I'm sure. Like, I mess around with emulators and old Neo Geo games and fighting games and stuff like that. But no, I haven't gone there.
Yeah. You know what? PC fighting.
Okay,
games
maybe
had
One Must
with...
Fall, but.
Yeah. That's what the PC fighting games had their chance with One Must Fall or Rise of the Robots. At that point, fuck you, you can get it right. Never mind, you're done.
Yeah. I don't know, man, because I have vanilla Street Fighter 4, and it plays really well on a PC. It really does.
Oh, I'm sure it plays fine. I mean, I guess it boils down to if you're using a controller or not. Since, yeah. So for me, not anytime soon.
Yeah. Plus,
if it dropped in price or started out at 20, that would be fine.
Yeah, that's the thing. A lot of people are talking about the arcade edition for PC, and I could have sworn, oh, well, that means there's a sale somewhere on it. And I looked everywhere, and there's not. So I'm going to wait until it's either a summer sale or a holiday pickup or something. So
I think the 2012 patch comes out soon. So.
Oh, yeah.
So, all right, our next question comes from Behemoth, who plays a lot of Left 4 Dead with us. And he asks, why didn't anyone tell me Space Pirates and Zombies was an Escape Velocity clone?
Here's my question. What the hell is Space Pirates and Zombies?
Spaz.
Here's my question. What the hell is Escape Velocity?
Well, here's my question for you guys. How many of you had PowerPC Max to play Escape Velocity on?
Ooh.
Here's my question for you. How did you get a game to work on a PowerPC Mac?
Also, who's Behemoth?
Wait, where are we? What is this?
Who said that?
I do remember there was a. I remember playing a game.
Shit just got
Terminal
meta.
Velocity on computer, on a PC and a Windows machine.
I remember playing.
I'm looking up a video of Escape Velocity.
Escape Velocity kind of falls into that marathon category where it's a pretty good game, but it's mostly people who played it on Macs way back when.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this looks so like
that it's so you're already dealing with crazy people.
This looks like Subspace. Well, I mean, it's a top-down space shooter.
It's totally Subspace. It's a single-player Subspace.
It's a twin-stick shooter.
See, when it gets by the name, it would have been like an Extreme G kind of thing.
Right. See, what I was thinking of was Terminal Velocity. I think that's. What
oh yeah, that same the same team that did like Rage 3D. Or whatever.
It was 3D. I mean, they did,
Or Fury 3D.
Well, they were, I guess, this Terminal Reality. Yeah. But no, man, Terminal, I remember having they had, like, huge terrain. It was just random, and it was ugly as shit.
Yeah,
but
it was.
You were flying around it, so it was cool. Yeah. What was this question? Right, so Space Pirates and Zombie is a game made by the same guys that made, I can't remember the name of the game that they made.
I'm gonna look it up. Escape Velocity, because then that would make a lot of sense.
You're like, oh yeah.
Oh wait, no, maybe that is their first game. For some reason, I thought they're the same guys that put out. Yeah, I still can't remember. Anyways, so we didn't tell you because we didn't know, and we're sorry.
Yeah,
I think
I know it was a daily deal, and it looked enticing. but I picked up another game instead of that one. So I don't know if I should.
What game did you pick up, Wes?
I picked up Soul Exodus, which you can read about on NitroBeer.com.
Yeah, Wes posted up a little thing.
It's pretty cool.
Our next question comes from Cambutt. I said it right. That's the correct. Yes. Anyways, so another guy that plays a lot of Left 4 Dead with us, he posts up some videos that I should actually put on NitroBeer sometime, if I'm ever in one. So, because I'm vain. So why unfinished Phoenix Wright HD art?
So Capcom announced at their recent Ace Attorney anniversary thing that they're porting 1 through 3 to iOS in HD art. And
it's really regrettable.
Yeah, they released a screenshot of one of the characters who holds a coffee cup, but they didn't have the coffee cup drawn. So he just looks like he has a tiny gimp baby hand. I'm not sure why they released a shot.
It had to take extra work to do that, because it's clear that the coffee cup was there to begin with. They had to go in there and remove the fucking coffee cup.
Yeah.
It's not like the artist just removed the coffee cup for no fucking reason when he drew the damn thing.
I think they're different sprites.
Yeah,
the tiger's claw.
Regardless, why would you release that?
Right. And not
because they're Capcom.
Yeah, not only that, but there's kind of a rule with pixel art to where you can only have a one pixel border that has to be evenly distributed, and then you can like anti-alias it and make it smooth. But this literally looks like they drew it in MS Paint.
Like, rules of pixel art.
There's I wish we had Ray Frendon on here right now, because he could actually explain it really well. But I bet he could look at it and he'd laugh his ass off if that guy had a job. You know, the dude at Capcom.
Does this guy's visor serve some I don't know, lawful purpose?
It's fucking awesome.
I forget the exact story, but I think he's somewhat blind.
Okay.
And this game takes place in the future.
Yeah, he's Cyclops from the X-Men.
He's 40.
Doing law. No, but I actually love the Phoenix Wright games. I'm upset that they did not announce this for the Android.
I'm sure it'll come eventually.
Yeah, because I'd pick it up, man. But yeah, there's something kind of wishy-washy about those sprites. And there's, if you just Google image search Phoenix Wright HD and look at some of them, just look at how the character is up against the background. Because what really doesn't help is the backgrounds. They put some weird watercolor splotchy effect on it, so it's really blurry and out of focus. So that means the pixels from the pixel art are super in focus.
Yeah.
So you could see every mistake they made.
And it's like the backgrounds are they get a half-assed job of trying to make them look realistic, and it just completely clashes with the art style.
Yeah, they went to a courtroom and took a picture and then put it through 4 filters in Photoshop.
Here's my question.
That doesn't matter when you're on, like, Game Boy Advance.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Here's my question. Has there been a case in recorded history where you took sprites, like, good sprite work, put them into, like, HD vectors, and it turned out, like, well? Because it seems like every single time this happens, it is completely regrettable and disgusting.
It always looks like those different, I guess, like, filters you have. If, you know, if you're playing in, you know, an emulator on a computer or something, they always have, like, you know, Eagle VX2 filter. And,
yeah.
You know, it makes, like, the pixels bubbles, and it looks really weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My guess is what they did with this is they probably don't have as a high priority project, and they didn't have anything done in time for the anniversary event. So they just released what they had, and that's why we get incomplete HD art.
So yeah, so that's why.
I had a theory, though, that this may be like a version, like a Mormon-friendly version, because this dude drinks coffee all the time, and you can't have that. So rather than just like write like tea or like, I don't know, like caffeine-free Coke on the side of it, you just get rid of the coffee cup.
Just put a skull and crossbones on it.
In the old Dragon Ball Z dubs, when one of the characters is drinking beer, they just color it blue. So it would be like this foamy beer or foamy water in a mug.
Powerade.
Delicious.
Convincing.
Yeah.
Hypnotic. That's much better.
All right. So we got a heavy hitting question next from Marco Flores. It's a couple part question. Let's see. I'm going to try to read this. It was in like multiple tweets. So let's see. Here we go. Figure you guys are doing your Beardcast soon. So here's my questions to the fathers. If you can go back to the day your children were created, I suppose that day of conception.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What line would you use to seal the deal? Would it be "Let me smang it, girl," or "How you like your eggs fried or fertilized"? These are actual music videos.
Yeah.
Yep. By the way, when answering my first question, you need to consider the dances they do for each video. And of course, both of these songs are by Young Humma and Flint Foth Flossy, who looks a bit like, I don't know, Eddie Murphy. So, I mean, for me, hand down, it's Smang.
Yeah, totally. I mean, totally.
Just that beat, you know, yep. That it's got that beat, much, it's a nice beat. It drops, and I don't know, he's just got that dance.
Yeah,
you know,
the has a nice beat, you can dance to it.
Yeah.
You could dance.
So,
dance horizontally.
That's it would right. definitely be Smang it.
Yeah.
Although, I think if I had done that, I probably wouldn't be having a kid now.
Right, that wouldn't so much seal the deal as it would be have a very confused look.
As it would do the opposite.
On everybody's faces. But yeah, his the second part to his...
Smash it and bang it, let me smang it, girl. Smash it and bang it, that dance, his face is amazing.
And didn't like J-Lo do that dance or something, or Beyoncé... did that dance?
I don't even know, man.
On an award show?
He was like the one with Flint Flossy. He has this one move where he smashes it, bangs it, then he flips it up in the air, and then thrusts at it. Like, as I assume, as it's falling.
Like a gunslinger. He's like a gunslinger. Just throwing up a deck of playing cards and shooting them out of the sky.
It's like that, you know, the whole, like, gun sequence that, shit, who does it in Metal Gear?
Oh, Revolver Ocelot.
Revolver Ocelot.
Yeah, right. He does the whole big thing, and then, yeah, it's like that, but with smashing and banging instead of guns.
Well played.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, the How You Like Your Eggs Fried, that was an okay sound, but, yeah, just not as heavy as a hitter as Let Me Smang It, Girl.
So good.
Yep. So that's, for me, that's me, Wes.
Yeah, totally smang it.
Because you're the other incoming father. Totally smang it.
Yeah, totally smanging. And because How Do You Like Your Eggs Fried or Fertilized? Like, to me, that's a funnier title. But then you listen to the song and it doesn't quite pay off. It doesn't feel like...
No, and the dance moves aren't as...
Yeah.
It bored me, frankly.
It's visceral.
No, they're definitely not as visceral.
Can I say this as a single guy? It seems like if you like, you look down at your lady and you say the fried or fertilized thing, it seems like she's going to look at you very angrily if she knows exactly what's happened. Because she knows what the fuck you just put her through.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I have to assume she knows what's happening, too.
Right.
Well, she doesn't realize that at that exact moment. It's not like, oh, my God, not like magical like sparkles come out of her.
You can scream, surprise, baby.
Surprise, baby!
Boom goes the dynamite.
Well, that would have been good. Or, like, yeah, you
would that be your pick for a song, Matt? I didn't know we had a third option. I'm going to see. Boom goes the dynamite.
You've never seen Boom Goes the Dynamite?
I don't think so. I'm watching it now.
No, there it is. That has to be the only choice.
Oh, that's a call. Oh, there it is. But okay, if you guys can, I'm going to kind of take this question from our good friend Marco Flores and kind of adapt it a little bit, because we were talking about all sorts of catchphrases and stuff like that. What movie quote would you use at that time? And this is for everybody. Like, at that time, you got the lady down, you're by the fire, you have velvet robes on. Any movie line.
Okay, this is probably going to sound awful, but the first thing that came to mind was, come with me if you want to live.
Of course it has to be a Schwarzenegger catchphrase.
Yeah.
I think mine would have to be, I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want. If you're looking for ransom, I can tell you that I don't have the money. But what I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills I've acquired over a very long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Oh.
Did you see them making a sequel to that movie?
I'd skip the part about, if you let my daughter go now, that'll be the end of it. And then I'd just resume at, I will not look for you. I will not pursue you. But if you don't, I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you. Might be a little harsh, but...
It might be into that. You don't know.
I don't know if that would be the actual line, but that would be the joke line I would give. Seeing as I just played her Smang It.
Yeah, exactly. As that's in the background. Oh, man.
Yeah. What were you saying, Imran?
And they're making a sequel to that movie.
Sweet.
Taken again.
Does he have another daughter that goes missing?
Yeah, him and his family are working together to save somebody? I'm not sure.
Oh, for fuck's
sake. It's stupid.
No, I'll tell you, okay, I'm never going to argue about Liam Neeson kicking people's asses. That's a good idea to me, but...
There was actually an article on NPR titled, What Should Liam Neeson Punch Next?
everything. But,
my problem with Taken as a film is it was the most annoying movie I've ever seen. Because the first half of it was, Dad, you just don't understand. Dad, what the fuck, Dad? You don't let me go to France. You don't let me do any of this shit. And he's like, because you're going to get kidnapped. No, I'm not. And then the ex-wife is like, let her do stuff. Just let her go to France by herself. What could happen? She could get
kidnapped. Why does he think... Why does he think there's a credible threat of her being kidnapped?
Well,
maybe she's really kidnappable.
Yeah,
that's how Europe operates.
She's got that kind of face.
Right, yeah, he just knew. Then the second he was like, shit, she's going to get kidnapped.
In fairness, the first thing she does in France, literally the first thing, is she gives her address to some guys she doesn't
exactly. know.
Like some random guys, yeah.
Maybe she's a moron. She's
stupid. Oh, for fuck's sake.
You know he's got to be bringing this up constantly to his wife. Like, every time they go up somewhere, oh, yeah, remember the time you let my daughter get kidnapped?
Like, I told you, you crazy bitch. Yeah,
I told you not to go to France, but you didn't listen to me.
Oh. You remember this movie reminds me of the time you let our daughter get kidnapped. You know, just keep doing that.
Some of that movie writing, man, just blows me away. It's like, okay, he's the literal only reasonable person in the entire film, out of everybody. Yet he's the guy nobody listens to.
The weirdest scene in that one is where he goes to his friend's apartment for dinner, and they're having like this gun stand up underneath the dinner table.
Yeah,
that was really awkward.
I think the main lesson from the Bacon is that everyone in Europe are freaking corrupt, and you can't trust anyone there.
Yes, and there's always some creepy like the hostels, and people will perform in weird shit.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
So once again, big.
We'll have to. Yeah, we'll have to bring David Marchman in to really answer that.
Verify.
One.
He'll be our man on the case.
Yeah. So his second question is: Jackie Chan's Fists of Fire, Marvel Kombat before Marvel, or as he writes it, Marvel?
Marvel, baby.
I'm not sure.
I'm going to ignore this question on general principle for using the H in Marvel.
No. See, I like the Marvel baby. I like that line.
Scoops.
There's too many memes with. Like, I play that game, and I have no idea what people are talking about on that stream sometimes.
Something
like, people
about
go,
Pringles?
Like, happy birthday, and I'm like, what? What does that mean?
Curly, something with the mustache being curly. It's
right, so Scoops Haagen-Dazs.
But for the record.
The Mango Sentinel, something about a Mango Sentinel?
Yeah, well, the different color, yeah, because you could pick the colors. I say, yeah, it was Marvel before Marvel was Marvel. I'll say that, because it was Jackie Chan playing every character, and they all had crazy finishing moves.
Yeah, if you've never seen this game, YouTube it, because it's like Mortal Kombat with the digitized graphics, but everybody is Jackie Chan.
Yeah, it's called Jackie
Chan. So it's like if Jackie Chan and Eddie Murphy conceptualized a video game together?
Pretty much. Yeah.
Because Eddie Murphy plays anyways.
Right. Like, yeah, it's called Jackie Chan's Fist of Fire, and it is fantastic.
There's literally a character that's just him wearing a dragon head.
Yeah, because why not, man? That's Jackie Chan.
And I think, it's popular in the fighting game community, but I'm not sure if it's ironic or not. Like, I'm not sure if they're really seriously playing it. I don't think they know either.
I think they started off as a goof, and then they just kept playing it and just totally,
convinced themselves it's worth playing. That Jackie Chan was a fighting game creator savant. Yeah. He's just like, look at all this timing and these counters. And
it's actually fucking amazing, guys. Take a look.
Jackie Chan might be good at fighting games.
Yeah.
What were you saying, Matt?
I was going to say, I don't think any fighting game has to actually be good. It's just as soon as one of these guys loses to another one of these guys, it's on. He's got to train, 10 hours a day to beat that guy.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, you're right. All right, so we got two more questions, unless I may have missed them, but I don't think so. But we got more questions from Poik007, our friend from America's Hat.
Yeah.
One of our friends, anyways. His first question is, why is he not in the Diablo 3 beta?
That's a good fucking question, because I'm not in the Diablo 3 beta, and it's very upsetting.
And if Wes isn't... Then there's no way.
Just no way in shit. But no, the reason why it is kind of upsetting, and there's a lot of drama going around right now on the internet that Blizzard's not announcing the release date, and you know I don't care about that. I honestly don't. Like, take as much time as you need. The game's going to be awesome. Fix whatever you need to, but make it open beta. It has been in closed beta for nearly half a year.
Isn't it coming out in March?
It was supposed to come out. Yeah, it was supposed to come at the end. Well, first it was supposed to come out before the end of 2011. But then I understood when they delayed it because I was like, yeah, sure, that makes sense. They'll do it early this year. But now they just did beta update number 10. Number 10, that's an actual game. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you're up to 10 patches, you're in the game should be sold right now phase. Because,
well, I mean, but isn't that what Blizzard does? I mean, they just, you know, they fine tune shit so much from feedback and everything, especially with, you know, the number crunching and shit that goes behind the scenes.
Yeah, definitely. And but my whole thing is, if they really want proper feedback, make that beta open. It's going to appease the people that want to play the game, so they'll stop complaining about a release date. They're going to get more people on Battle.net to stress test it, and they're going to see what item balance is going to be. It's just a good idea.
See, but closed beta is actually fantastic marketing for a Blizzard game.
Yeah, but
because the second that game comes out and you're not in the beta, you're going to buy the hell out of it.
Well, of course. I mean, well, yeah, you're going to buy the hell out of it regardless, because what they usually do is all the beta testers get a bunch of free royalty shit on there. They're like, oh, well, now you have a gold character and he has a pony that can fly around and kill things in one hit. And you're like, all right, that's cool.
I would play that game if I could walk around as an actual gold character. Like, made of gold. Like Dr. Manhattan, but gold.
That'd be amazing.
That would be cool.
And also, you'd be completely useless, as you'd be very slow and...
And soft. You'd be a little squishy. So, real quick, I'm taking a tangent, because I tried to look for the search queries that people had found Nitro Beta through, because I thought we had one for, like, where's my free copy of Diablo 3 or something. And I just found out that we have results for Imran Khan beard images, and also... Fuck North Korea.
Huh. Wow. You know what? I can get behind that.
When did we go off on North Korea?
Hold on. We also have a result for abusive relationship analogies.
Okay. That was probably
admittedly, I'm fairly sure Mark's column wallet abuse is responsible for that one.
Oh, I was like, that's probably something I said on the Beardcast. I don't know.
So we have a bunch of other ones, but yeah, I just had to bring those up real quick.
Wait, didn't we have a score to settle with some of the listeners right now?
Do we?
About
these are fucking asshole listeners. Yeah, let's
go. Oh yeah, god damn it. So I am very disappointed in most
Fuck
of you.
Fuck you, listeners.
If not all of you, at least for anyone who's been paying attention. So I put up a new featured beard on NitroBeard.com as well as on our Twitter page, and I said, hey, okay, so anyone, first person to tell me who this guy is, gets, you know, whatever, one of my Steam coupons, because I, what else am I going to do with them?
Yeah.
And I've had nothing. No one said, no one knows. And I'm disappointed. You were all console gamers to me.
And see, I have handouts for the Steam mobile beta that I could give out, but if people don't want to listen to what we got to say, then, you know, that's fine. Totally fine.
Do you know who he is? Because if you...
You know, if you don't, if you don't, then you guys can't use Steam on your cell
phone. I'm asking you, Wes.
What?
I'm asking you.
No, I don't know who the fuck that is.
Okay. I just checked.
Honest to God, though, it does look familiar. Like, now it's going to wreck my brain. You didn't do the thing where you hid it in the URL source code, did you?
No, I made sure not to. Good. Like, there's a hint to his name, but I was going to put in the title of the game, but I didn't. But anyway, so he's the junk dealer from Quest for Glory 3.
Oh, okay. Because, see, I was thinking of, not Carandia, but, God, what the fuck else was it? It's on GOG. Because I just started playing more GOG games recently.
And
that
nice.
That just seemed much like a, what games are they? They just got on Steam as well. The full adventure game packs. Look through.
Anyway, the junk dealer who's wearing a fez hat says, "Hello, young man. You look like you could use some of our mostly new items." And you can buy this. So anyway, so that's that. You've all failed me miserably.
How dare you?
Yet again.
See, I thought it was someone.
Yet again. Oh, okay. I was waiting for Mark to say something else.
No.
Like, I thought he was going to say, "Yet again, you have all done something," but you were just saying yet again.
Yet again.
I thought it was...
Also, I have let you down.
Yeah.
You have.
That's what I was looking at, was the Blackwell Legacy. That old...
that pack, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I thought it was from at first, because the...
No, those are like cyberpunk, right?
Sort of. There's some of them that take place kind of current day, but told kind of in a film noir style. Pretty cool stuff.
Yeah. So there's one more comment from Pork007, and he says, why is Brian a butt?
Ooh.
Hashtag beard bag. And he was the one person who used the hashtag to say that I was a butt.
to make fun of. Hmm.
So thanks, Pork007.
Yeah, it's such a bittersweet.
Hope you like Earthbound.
The one guy.
Wait, we have one more question that I completely forgot about because it came in last minute.
Okay, yeah.
Eric Klein, Lands, another one of our friends from the platform, says, anyone on the team getting this, I guess, our team? Are we a team? Have we deemed ourselves a team before?
Yeah, we are.
I think we're more of a crew.
We're a crew.
There's five of us, so if we just get some giant robots, we'll be a team.
There you go, right, yeah. Is five a squad or a posse?
No, would it be a brigade?
No, definitely not a brigade.
We're too small for a brigade.
Brigade.
I think we're a company. Are we a company? Can we be a company?
Hold on, how many?
Company.
Posse.
A company would be...
Apparently 10 scholars traditionally makes up a posse.
Well, we're halfway there, Gen 1.
A band? Can we be a band?
How many people do five people... This is a really weird...
Google's just going to shut up.
The first thing I got was the orgy. Top five regrets people have on their deathbeds.
Read it.
No orgy.
Not being on a team.
Five.
We're a basketball team. Worst basketball team. Yeah.
I feel like five is a posse.
No, five's not a posse. Yeah. A squad. You definitely need more people. The thing is, for a posse, you need more people, and you need one guy to definitely be the leader.
Let's see. Flip mode squad.
And guns. Horses. Yeah. An angry sheriff.
Let's see. Yeah. Flip mode squad. Did they have a set number?
Squad? I like
this squad. Busta Rhymes.
Yeah.
Current members of the conglomerate, child of Flip Mode Squad, five.
We're the conglomerate.
We're a squad.
It's we're more of a network than a conglomerate.
We're a squad.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah. What happens when we bring in people?
So, anyways, Eric Klein's question is, anyone on the squad getting a Syndicate multiplayer demo? And from what I understand, it's coming out at some point on PS3 and 360. So, probably not, because that means I would have to download something on my PS3.
Sure, why not? I'll give it a chance.
Bradshaw would do it. If they put it out on PC, sure, I would.
I'll play Syndicate, but I have no interest in the multiplayer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, is it it's a co-op demo, right?
Oh, it's a co-op demo?
Yeah. I believe they're like co-op missions, maybe. Like, you know, specific ones, maybe not campaign.
Because I thought the entire point of that game was like scripted mind hacking.
Yeah, I thought it was supposed to be like a very, very tightly wrought like single player game like BioShock or Deus Ex.
Yo, dog, I heard you like mind hacking, so I'll mind hack you while you mind hacked. And...
Yeah. Sure.
So yeah, Mark Frenchel
will. EA is pretty much sending that game to die.
Sadly, what's it coming out around?
Like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, but there. Well, that's but it's coming out some other games that are coming out.
I think it's coming out of it's this Amalur and.
Wait, isn't Amalur out in
the next couple of weeks?
No, it's going to be in the next couple of weeks. I think isn't SSX coming out next week?
SSX got delayed till the 24th, I think.
I am frothing at the mouth for that game.
Yes, it looks incredible.
I can't tell you how excited I am for the game, because I played so much SSX.
So you're saying you have frothing demand?
I have, yes. My frothing demand increases. If you know where that's from, you can
you
go
have
fuck
no
yourself.
Life.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone has seen that cover.
Yeah, everyone's seen that. So
that cover.
Yeah, I'm really excited for that game. Yep.
Yeah.
So I'm still trying to find out if Syndicate
exists,
if it's campaign co-op or what. No, I think it's like
you do like your campaign co-op
team up and battle for market dominance and your life as you infiltrate and eliminate. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe it'll be like Science and Industry. There's a Half-Life mod called that. Speaking of Half-Life. I just went to evilavatar.com, one of the gaming news sites that I've been going to for a really long time, and there's an update on Black Mesa Source.
What?
Now, Black Mesa Source has, like, a Duke Nukem Forever level of delays and shit going on. Like, if you go to their site right now, the latest Twitter update was 756 days ago.
This was actually before Twitter was invented.
Right.
Yes, it was, yeah. So, I mean, Black Mesa Source has been in the works for a really long time. But there's been a post on the forums from one of the developers saying, it was said that once the soundtrack is released, one could expect the launch of Black Mesa 2 weeks later. I can now say that the new website will be launched with the soundtrack in preparation for the mod. Fuck if we care about the current website, just take a good look at it because it will be gone soon enough. So he says, I can now say that a new website will be launched with the soundtrack in preparation, but it doesn't say when still.
Right.
So, but still, I mean, it's an update, like the first update in a really long time.
Because that was, Black Mesa Soros was announced right around the same time they announced Counter-Strike Soros, wasn't it?
It was, they pretty much started shortly after the orange box came out. Or was it the black, or maybe they were the same thing. I don't remember.
The question is, what will come first, Half-Life 3 or that?
That's a good question.
Black Mesa, I don't see, Valve has their plate too busy right now with Dota. And then after that, they have to do Counter-Strike Go. And then we might start.
I like the idea that Valve cannot actually count to three.
That's it. They're like, oh, fuck, what is that number?
Gabe Newell. One, two,
red. So you kind of ruined Left 4 Dead just right out of the bat.
Yeah.
Left 4 Dead, that was more Microsoft's fault. Because Microsoft would not allow them to do the DLC they wanted to do. So they had to build those hooks into a new game. At this point, I honestly would not mind a Left 4 Dead 3. I put like 350 hours in that game.
Yeah, I put a lot of hours. You know who hasn't put in a lot of hours? Wes Gardner.
Me.
That's true.
That is true. I need to play it more. I installed it last night while I was watching the Royal Rumble. Installed that, and I was playing that space game, Soul Exodus. But did we want to, since we're all here and since the internet's all in a big hubbub, we can save this part for last, but did we want to discuss that whole Penny Arcade, the Penny Arcade
right, they're talking about
EA and used games and...
It's
the Microsoft system is rumored to not play used games. Like, they're trying to find a way...
I thought the thing that they were talking about was that, hold on, let me see, I'm trying to go back to, okay, here we go. Maybe that is it. Maybe I don't know shit.
I think it's just that, like, Heroes of Amalur and SSX and all that have online passes.
Right. Well, yeah, they're talking about incentive for buying games new.
Yeah.
So, there's games released in 2012, I mean, by EA, so sure, they're going to have online passes.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, that's not surprising, but also... It's unfortunate, but it's not surprising. But also, I know there's a rumor right now that the Xbox 720, Microsoft is looking for a way to just completely get rid of your system being able to play used games. Like, period.
That wouldn't surprise me.
I think that'd be, you'd have, like, enormous repercussions that we can't really see at this point in time, and it'd be immediately regrettable the moment they put that thing out in play. Yeah.
People would bitch and moan for about a year, then they'd stop, they'd accept it.
It would completely destroy, like, collecting for the system.
Correct.
Because, I mean, you would only ever get that one printing. You only get that one press run. And if you don't buy it new during that one printing, you're fucked. It's over.
That's
you're
right.
Shut out.
That's right. What if you don't buy the system on day one?
Yeah.
And then 3 years later...
Or what they're going to do is it'll be anti-used games, and then you pay a $30 fee online to play it.
Right. Which I could see
I wouldn't mind this idea so much as long as, like, every game they release on disc, they release online. That would be fine. You know, just as long as everything stays in the catalog and the prices drop at a reasonable rate. Let's say, like, I don't know, $20 a year, $10 a year, whatever.
Yes.
Those are two very big ifs.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, if. And you're hoping Microsoft, who doesn't get shit right, manages to get something right and actually work for the public good, which they never fucking do because they're evil.
From what I'm hearing, the issue is that publishers are saying they do not want to move on to a next generation if the budgets are going to increase, because they're not making any more money from a game that way, unless they raise the price to $70.
Right, which is...
So the only thing, like, Microsoft can do, really, is just say, we'll cut out the used game stream.
Right, I just think all of this is thinking backwards. The fact that, well, now if we need to make more video games, they need to raise in price is thinking backwards. The reason why people buy used games is to save money. If you want your unit to sell, you will primarily sell it at a loss, which is the same way the hardware...
Well, it's also for you to get it, like, used. It's also because, like, these idiots release everything in batches. It's like during the holiday season, half of the releases were put in, like, a 3-week span.
Mm-hmm.
And if you weren't interested in dropping like $500 to collect all the fucking games you need at that point in time, well, then you were under the system. You're SOL.
Right.
Because the games only stay in stock for 2 weeks.
Yes.
And we already have basically Christmas releases for this year already.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We know what's coming. And the weird thing is, this is a deal about publishers wanting to have their cake and eat it too, but you can't. They're going to condemn somebody like GameStop for selling used titles.
You know what? However, here's the thing.
But they perpetuate pre-orders.
Yeah. Well, they want to like punish GameStop, and yet they keep producing stuff for GameStop.
Exclusive DLC.
They can't have it fucking both ways.
You can't have it.
If the used games are such a fucking burden, then stop it with the fucking
totally
exclusives.
Yes, exactly.
This is completely bullshit. Just cut them out.
Because here's the deal.
See, you can't though, because GameStop makes up like half of all game sales in the country.
They make half.
Not even used game sales, new games.
Well, sure, because people are trading in their games to buy new games.
Yeah, and that's why it works out for GameStop when publishers do that kind of stuff.
But it does do that. But the thing is, what people really don't realize is publishers get their money up front. Whenever you buy a game from GameStop, even if it is brand new, the publisher sees maybe 15% of that.
Yeah, but I mean, they're allowed to resell back if they have unused stock.
Well, of course. And I mean, that's been that way for 20 years. But it's, you know, so the publishers are making money at point of sale initially. Then GameStop is protected under the first sale doctrine. So they can sell the game, but they can also take trade-ins back. Because guess what? It's not their fucking product.
Yeah.
Oh, just a slight aside, one of the pre-order bonuses I saw recently was Never Dead. And one of the bonuses you get is you get funny dialogue.
Ooh.
If you pre-order from GameStop.
Oh! what dialogue do I get if I don't pre-order? It's just a mute.
I assume it's all serious if you don't, but it's like...
film.
It's apparently stuff that like the main character will comment on as he's killing things. But you only get that as a pre-order bonus.
You know what? I think I'd pay $5 extra for Nier if it meant that I couldn't get like Weiss's funny dialogue.
And here's the
Weiss's.
Because people are pointing at
the
GameStop
book.
That people and gamers are pointing at GameStop as the reason why this industry is not making the money it could. And that's funny to me because
no, just look at these ridiculous cinematics and the money being poured into games.
Yes. You have angel investors. You have people on the back end wanting to build something that will go neck and neck with the same emotional impact you got from Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah. And they're dropping like an insane amount of money into this shit.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't fucking care. I don't fucking care about the fucking what you guys did with Homefront with the cinematics.
Yeah.
Your game's shit.
Yeah. And then people are
going to lose their shit if production values go down.
But they won't.
I don't know.
But they
will they care?
Well, no. The production values won't go down. Here's the thing. They're fear-mongering that we have to spend $30 million on a cutscene for fucking Star Wars The Old Republic. Guess what? The technology to make those cutscenes is becoming more cost-effective. Make sure that the people giving you your renderware, essentially, are making good product at a reasonable price. That way you don't have to spend... for some third-party support, a quadrillion dollars to make some shitty cutscene that people are going to see four times and then trade their game back into GameStop. Like,
there's no way it costs $30 million to make a cutscene.
You'd be surprised.
No way in hell.
The Knights of the Old Republic, or whatever the new one is,
yeah.
That their first intro, I think it actually made it into the game, but it was their trailer, cost $160 million.
Yep. Yes, sir.
You know, I'm pretty sure episode one only cost about $200.
That's right. It did. No, you're correct. Now you see the problem. It's
if this is the industry, if this is the fucking model they've got, then fucking let it collapse.
Yes,
let it collapse and rebuild it.
Yeah.
It's not sustainable. Let it fucking.
See, the
collapse.
Thing is, it's not sustainable for anyone but EA and Activision.
Not even for.
And that's what they're doing. That's their plan. Yeah. It is an entirely scorched earth kind of plan.
They're becoming Starbucks. If people think of video games, they have to think of Electronic Arts. Yeah, that's their goal. And the thing is, they're going to realize the error of their ways. They think if they can just hire every company, they'll still have competition, but they won't.
They're not going to think the error of their ways because it's not going to happen for another like 4 or 5 years. And by that point, the stock owners will already be stinking rich. So they won't really give a shit. They're paid for short-term thinking.
Yeah. And I agree. But here's the thing is they've got everybody fooled. If you go onto the message boards, if you see any of this stuff, then you have the fans complaining that GameStop is an evil corporation. It's like, is the used car dealership down the block an evil corporation? Is the used bookstore that you go to?
We've entered this weird phase in like fandom where like these huge multi-billion dollar behemoths are the good guys. And the people who are trying to be like pro, I mean,
yeah.
You're not going to say like GameStop is pro consumer advocacy because they're just another fucking corporation.
Well, of course, they're out to make money. Yeah.
But at least they're there, you know, yes. Without them as an option beyond. So we're saying that we're picking sides.
Yeah.
For these fucking faceless behemoths.
Right. Which is nuts. That's exactly what they want, but it's crazy. I mean, we have to look at it this way. We live in a time to where corporations have First Amendment. A corporation is treated like a person.
Yeah.
See, I think it's mainly that video gaming as a general industry is kind of fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not like, you know, it's going to die sort of way, but in a we have so much emphasis on those big AAA budgets, and the only people that can offer them are big publishers.
Yes. Well, so we're getting expectations have to be reduced.
Yeah. Like, maybe if Xseed could make a game, they'd probably make a pretty decent low-budget game. Right. But they're not going to have the capital to do that.
Right. Sure, because they can't promise to bring back a certain amount of infrastructure back to a company. Like, okay, we will allow you to make this $3 million game if you promise to bring us $10 million in return. And they just can't promise that. You know.
So I did like Gabe Newell's idea of are people contributing to a game's budget before it's ever made.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
That's sort of
quick starting
a
video game,
right? Yeah, and I mean, well, I guess I sort of did that with Grim Dawn game coming out from the Titan Quest people. Although I mean, they're still working on it. They just gave you the opportunity to to buy Legendary Edition and get your name in the credits and also help them work on the game because you're.
I mean, that's essentially what Minecraft does too.
Yeah, Minecraft and all these other games that are releasing in alpha, which we talked about, I think, a couple episodes ago. There are ups and downs to it, but most of these have been from kind of, relatively low-name or no-name, companies or groups. But, if someone like Valve were to come, like, hey, look, we're looking for money, to work on this new game or something, it would be interesting to see what would happen in comparison.
Because this is a trend that's not only going to be good for video games, I think, but we're seeing it in everything. Like, look how well Kickstarter, that website, is going off. This could be, I'm trying to make a movie about forks. And my movie about forks is going to be 30 minutes long, and I'm going to talk about different types of forks. And this dude gets $1,000 a week. You know what I mean? Like, there's a certain inherent value to saying the only people that want to attribute money to this cause are people that believe in the cause in the first place. And that gets advertisers out of the thing. That gets third parties. That gets all sorts of just headaches, which means $130 million cutscenes. Get those out of here. Our product doesn't need that in order to sell well.
What I think would be interesting is that maybe, like, just as an experiment, like, just one of these fucking big AAA titles, pull back on the production quality just a little bit. See if anyone notices. You know, once we have AC3 and we make the second part of Assassin's Creed 3, maybe pull back a little bit on the fucking, VA budget or the fucking, original score or what the hell.
My argument, and Imran does make a good point, that some people really will. They'll go, these graphics don't look as good. But my argument is those are the same assholes that don't buy new games anyway. They buy all their shit
used. They're the people who will buy new games because the company had told them to. Yeah. They're the people who went out on Uncharted 3's release day. Mm-hmm. And it's like, the only thing they were thinking about was how good Drake looked on a horse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is insane to me, which means they shouldn't be spending money on anything, much less video games, if that's how they make their decisions. But it's,
But that's how we've been conditioned to make our decisions.
Yeah, but by the industry, exactly, because, look how much money we spent.
We're goddamn lucky these days to be getting good games that happen to look really good, too.
Yes, I agree.
I think most publishers have realized if you get good games, or if you get games that look really good, that's pretty much all you need.
Yep, and that's sad.
But having just gotten through Uncharted 2, and oh, what a headache that was, I'd be happy, forget less production values, just less production. So much of that game was cutscene and not game.
Yeah. And the parts that were game were like very hand-holdy, like they would physically, they'd actually show you the next part of the platform to like walk onto.
Am I going to do something like that and thinks Crash Bandicoot? Mm-hmm. Like, just the way the characters move and the walkways are set up and the way the camera moves, I couldn't get over the fact that I was playing Crash Bandicoot.
Right. Yeah, there are some scenes that are definitely like that.
Yeah, and I mean...
What was that, Imran?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I was saying that, like, Uncharted 2, you kind of have to accept it's just a Universal Studios ride at one point.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the best, like, Indiana Jones movie we're never going to see. And it's the best you can ask for it.
Yeah, and it's... I don't know, there just seems to be... And, I mean, you could call it what it is about, oh, well, the world's going through changes, too. But, you know, the video game industry is going through a lot of changes. But I just don't like the idea that people are pointing fingers in all of the wrong directions and not looking at the problem. You know, and I think we've kind of discussed the problem is, you know, just the overbearing nature. Oh, a production cycle. We have all these people. We hired 30 professional voice actors and they're reading 400,000 lines of dialogue. I don't fucking care. Is the game good? You know, like, at the end of the day, am I going to have fun playing this game?
We've reached a weird thing where, like, if you make a low-budget game, it has to be download.
Yeah.
If you make it on retail, people will see that low-budget price and think that it reflects on the game's quality.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is...
Okay, so in summation, all video games are terrible.
And
we're gonna take a super quick break. We're going to go smash it and bang it, and we'll be right back. We got some more questions, a quick flood. We're going to fire through them. And, yep, we'll be back in a minute.
Hey, Tommy Scratch me. Hey, little lady, how you feeling? It's Hummer Boo at the crib just chilling. Trying to figure out what I'm going to do today. How about you throw on something sexy and come my way? I got a treat for you and you're going to like it. I hear those giggles, go ahead and get excited. You say in bed that your man is a lame guy. Having sex with him is just like watching paint dry. Damn, I really hope that that ain't true. But if it is, here's what I'm going to do for you. And when you get here, I'm not just going to bang it. I'm going to smash it too, so let's just say I'm going to smang it. Let me smang it, girl. Smash it and bang. Let me smang it, girl. Smash it and bang. Let me smang it, girl. Smash it and smash it. The way I work that kitty gonna make your heart sing. Let me smang it, girl. Smash it and bang. Let me smang it, girl. Smash it and bang. Let me smang it, girl. Smash it and bang. The way I work that kitty gonna make your heart sing. Now are you ready, baby? Then let's get crazy. Hope your muscles warmed up, you can't be lazy. This is what I like to call smash bang fusion. Gotta focus, mama, you don't wanna get a cooch contusion. I like to mix it up, I like to do stuff. I like to start.
Welcome back, everybody, to episode 72 of the Beercast. It's January 30th, 2012. I'm Brian Bleed, and we're back. We got more questions. We're gonna fire through them. And this is a shingles free podcast.
No shingle zone.
No shingles, the video game. So we got a question from David Marchmont, our fellow British Brit man. Okay, not really fellow. Our British Brit man. So he says, Dear Nitrobeard, how excited are you for Phantom Menace 3D? Option A, super excited. Option B, hell's excited. Or option C, mega anime excited.
I'm going to go with option C.
Mega anime.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, you're not actually being sarcastic, though.
Right. Now, I will say that the prequels did pretty much suck, but Star Wars is Star Wars, and since everyone ran off George Lucas, the only thing we can hope to get now is, like, Clone Wars cartoon movies, which is
cool.
Yeah, kind of cool. But, I mean, I will say, well, are they going to do one a year? Is that kind of what they said? They're going to do Phantom Menace this year, then next year is episode 2? Is that how they're doing it? I can't remember.
Does this one have an extra rock in front of Jar Jar Binks?
I think so. And, like, the 3D, his tongue comes out and slaps you in the face.
So it's just like watching Phantom Menace regularly.
Yeah, like, literal, it's just the same so at home.
Let's put this to a vote. All in favor of Mega Anime Excited for Phantom Menace 3D?
Aye. Brian Belita said aye.
Yeah. Nay. I mean, I won't go see it.
Suicide? Because that's what I would choose.
All right, our next question comes from Mike Lemieux. He's a dude who's on the JumpCast, the new JumpCast. Go listen to the JumpCast. It's about anime and manga.
And jumping.
Yep. And manga. All right, he asks, Dear Nitrobeard, who is your favorite Adventure Time character and why? Love, Q. I haven't watched a lot of Adventure Time, unfortunately. The things I've seen is pretty great. I like the dog. He's cool.
I watch it when it comes on TV, right? But I never actually, like, seek it out.
I like Jake the dog because he's rough and gruff and don't take no shit from nobody.
That's his character bio. He just read his character bio off of the Nickelodeon website.
Also, he's voiced by Bender.
Yes, that too.
That's really?
Oh, you know, so it's really weird. And Matt, maybe you might. Did you started playing Bulletstorm, didn't you?
Just the demo.
Just the demo. Okay, so it's really weird because I played Bulletstorm and then I started playing Rage, and in Rage I just ran into you free that guy from the prison, Marshall or whatever.
Yeah.
Same dude.
Huh.
By the way, did you finish Bulletstorm?
I did finish Bulletstorm.
How'd you like that ending?
I don't think I had any issues. I'm trying to remember it. I don't think it ends.
Like you're on this little space pod thing, and it's like,
and then you.
I guess we'll deal with this later.
Yeah, I think it should have ended in with them having sex flying into the sunset.
Probably.
Yeah, but no, I didn't really have any issues with it. I mean, but I enjoyed it. But anyway, so, right, voice actors, they're in the same games.
Yeah.
Nolan North is everybody.
I'll say with Adventure Time, I've only seen one episode.
Right, Adventure Time.
Of Adventure Time. And it was the one where they had to talk about the Vikings were beating each other up. And they had to go talk to, like, the mountain. I can't even remember what the people that really watch that show will be like, oh, yeah. And they had to. I don't fucking know.
Okay, actually, I saw one episode with, like, this assassin. He was pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
I would say the fighting Vikings are my favorite characters in Adventure Time.
I think my favorite's probably the vampire girl, because she has a nice singing voice.
Oh.
My favorite character from Adventure Time are the Yip Yip aliens from Sesame Street.
Yeah, is Max Payne from Remedies on Max Payne.
All right, so the next two questions we got. Okay, so David Marchman and Mike Lemieux then go back and forth asking why each other smell bad or why are they ugly.
I have an answer.
Because they both live in places where it rains a lot.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's right.
I hear David has impeccable teeth, though.
Really?
Which is odd for a an Englishman.
I don't recall paying attention to that.
I've never actually seen them, but I think his dad's a dentist or something, so I don't know.
That's awesome.
So
amazing teeth on his mantle. They're not still in his mouth or anything.
Exactly. Yes. All right. We got a question from Crunch, who's the originator, the one and only guy who runs platformers.net. Go there, be amazed, listen to some MIDI songs.
That's right.
The only man who has ever run platformers.net.
And yes, right. Deus Ex, just like Deus Ex 2. So he asked, "Dear Nitrobeer, which roguelike is better, Heroes of Might and Magic 3 or Qbert?"
Qbert.
Straight up Qbert. Yeah. I think it's unanimous.
Yeah, I would say so too.
Yeah, I agree with Qbert.
That's decided. All right, and our last question, I think, unless more have popped up, comes from Big Knife on the platforms. He says, "Dear Nitrobeard, with Street Fighter X, Tekken, Capcom has just said that casual fun was an important part of the design. Do you think that it's actually possible to have a Street Fighter game with the casual appeal of something like the Smash Bros, or is SFXT likely to just be an interesting failure?"
I mean, it's possible, but it's not going to happen here.
Yeah.
You heard it.
That's the official take. I think it's a good idea because the people that are big into... Well, the people that will recognize Blanka, you know, they're the same people that are going to recognize Mario. You know, I'll make that argument because they're going to be going, "I remember going to the skate rink and playing that game with the green guy that electrocuted people." And they'll say that...
No one's going to care about, like... Jin Kazama.
Yeah, I mean, they'll be like, "Who's this ass clown?" And they'll do that, but I think they could definitely sell a party-esque game that had to do with fighting mechanics.
Something like Capcom Fighting Jam would probably be a better idea.
Yeah.
And while we're on Street Fighter Cross Tekken, fuck the fact that it's like there's 5 exclusive PS3 characters. 1 or 2, that's okay. 3 is pushing it. 5 is a little bullshit.
How many characters are on the roster?
I think it's up to 40.
Hmm.
Damn. Yeah. I don't know anything about that question. Other than now I will say it's Street Fighter Cross Tekken, not X.
Yeah.
And also, you were all terrible at asking questions in a timely manner.
Yeah, everyone's rushed.
Literally,
yeah, we answer them when.
Yeah, we answer them.
Yeah, we still reward them. We're like GameStop, man. We're like the publishers in GameStop. We're rewarding this behavior.
I think I would like to talk about real quick Super Monday Night Combat with Imran.
Yeah, we can't put that footage up, I think.
No, apparently we can't. It's good. Maybe I'll just put up the audio, maybe just that last bit.
Ooh, nice.
Where you said, Squiz, I think I'm kind of done playing Super Monday Night Combat.
Which is pretty much all you need to know about that game.
Yeah.
Is it still under closed beta, like yep. NDA? Yeah.
That's why we can't put the film or footage up.
This podcast will be taken out tonight.
It's not a very good game. Don't play it.
I mean, you might like it, but we didn't.
Maybe it'll be more fun if we had a full team. But like, it would just sort of like... Literally, if you got two Legos and just smashed them together a lot, you'd pretty much be having the same experience.
Yeah, so is it set up like Monday Night Combat was, where it's almost a third-person action version of a tower defense?
Yep.
Where it's a... Okay, is it a lot like Sanctum?
Yes, except the... You each have, like, your own stream of monsters.
Oh, I see.
Except they're robots. And they'll fuck you up.
Oh.
Yeah.
But,
So, there's not really a whole lot to say about it.
Is it actually on the Super Nintendo?
Yes.
Just like Super Street Fighter 4.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you say Super Monday Night Combat, I picture Bill Laimbeer's combat basketball.
Right. Or, or what was it? Pigskin football? From back in the day on the Genesis?
That's, yeah, Jerry Glanville's Pigskin Football.
Yeah. Oh, man.
We need to do a
break. Right, writing the Jerry Glanville wave where he was successful for 6 months.
We need more video games with people's names.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got, like, you know, American McGee's Alice. You know, we need, like,
yeah.
like Mark yeah, that's Bradshaw's... What makes sense. Mark Bradshaw's Deus Ex 2.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, back in the day, during the 16-bit era, everybody had it. Some 2-bit... Like either
because it was that's the way they did sports games back
yeah.
then.
Dick like, Vitale's whatever the fuck Vic Vitale does, like
Tommy Lasorda's baseball because that's what I fucking want to see
yeah.
for like the next straight
so
8 hours.
Yeah, and it's like okay, you had King Griffey baseball, you had Troy Aikman football.
Yeah.
Oh god.
I hope that's what Half-Life 3 comes out of. Gabe Newell's Half-Life 3.
And it's him on the cover somewhere.
Right, smiling.
No, it needs to be.
The mouth. Funny thing is, just from the names being thrown around, I know that Wes is about 5 years younger than me and Mark.
Right, because all the guys I'm naming, you're like, ah, oh, those are young bucks. Whenever.
Well, Ken Griffey Jr.'s baseball was on. That was late Super Nintendo and early N64, right?
Yep, yeah. Left field.
Yeah.
But Tommy Lasorda was a launch Genesis title.
Yeah.
And also the biggest disappointed if you wanted Tony La Russa baseball.
Oh, I don't know. Even as a kid, I never really got into sports games at all. I think like my mom may have bought me a football game or maybe a baseball game on Genesis. But otherwise, my earliest memories of my Genesis were Cool Spot.
Yeah, man.
The 7-Up game.
I owned NES years. Hockey. And all I did with that is spin in a circle because it amused me.
That's hilarious because that's like totally what I do now in video games. Yeah. Like I'll, in like Uncharted playing, you know, multiplayer back in Uncharted 2, I'll just like stand there and just spin my movement controller around so my character just kind of starts spinning in circles.
I do that in every live stream once I get bored. Like if I'm, I remember doing one for Stranglehold last year whenever the killer came
yes,
out on DVD.
Yes.
And I was playing and there was a lot of people watching, so I just stood Chow Yun Fat in one place and people are like, did he leave? And then I just start running really quick in a circle. And they're like, what the fuck's going on? I just love doing that.
Yeah.
I think that's a kind of a catch-all for everybody. Like, send us emails and tell us your stories about running a character.
About spinning characters in circles. they work better in third-person games.
Yeah.
Although, admittedly, I like... Like, my mouse has a quick swap button for, like, a super high sensitivity and just regular sensitivity. So whenever I'm playing, like, TF2 or basically any game that is, A, multiplayer, and B, has some weapon that sprays something, bullets or fire or rockets, I don't know. So I'll just set my mouse sensitivity super high, hold down mouse 1, and then just start spinning around like a fucking madman, just spraying bullets and flames everywhere.
It's always fun to do that, because it looks crazy on your screen, but then you always have to realize what it looks like to everybody else whenever they turn
even
the corner.
Crazier.
Yeah, and see some dude, just some big heavy,
yeah.
And like, shooting everything down.
Yeah, so... So that's pretty great. So that's Beardcast, episode 72.
That's right.
Mailbag, beardbag, Use hashtag beer bag or fucking don't. We don't give a shit.
Yeah, exactly. Find it regardless. We snoop around the internet. That's fine.
Right. Oh, wait, we'll one thing I wanted to know, Brian. Did you win your Words of Friends game?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes. Well, I see, but I didn't like propose it to Sean Vanaman or anything. I felt like I'd be a douchebag by doing that.
No, you should have been like, listen, brother. We all have to make sacrifices in our lives. So come on, the Beardcast. Let's get it over with.
Since starting Words with Friends and with Sean Vanaman, I have not lost a game. I've played 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I have not lost a game yet.
Wait,
I played 5 games and I have 4 going right now.
You beat him all those times?
No, well, I mean different. I've played Imran and Sean Vanaman and Imran's girlfriend.
Oh no!
God damn it!
I don't know why I did that. It was funny to me.
Yeah, because I didn't propose it in the beginning. So maybe I'll challenge him again randomly.
You should, man.
Or maybe if you're listening to this, Sean Vanaman, which you're not.
You don't. We had Jeff Green listening.
Because you're a pussy.
Oh my word.
That's not the way to do this, Mark.
That goes against what we stand for sometimes.
Yeah. Oh no, my bad. So
he really is a pussy.
Ba-dum-tsh.
All right, so let's leave.
Yeah, we're done here. 72. We're coming back next week. Regular Beardcast
with episode 74.
Yeah, we'll skip a fucking number. Who cares? And then we're gonna come back, and then I might have Final Fantasy 13 too because it comes out tomorrow. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm undecided. I may pick it up or I may not.
I don't know if I'm going to fall for that hype, man, because every time a Final Fantasy game, I see the dumb-looking trailer, play some J-pop song, and then I'm like, yeah, I might as well get it.
What you should do instead is you should buy Dust Force.
I should.
So actually, what we need is a trailer for this podcast with a J-pop song in the background.
That's it, man. Send me links to J-pop songs right now. I'm going to put that as our break music, our opening music.
No, well, Smang It is going to be our break music, but you'll already know that by listening to this. So, anyways, goodbye,
everybody. Bye, gang.
Bye.
Staring the stars, feeling the winds every time. I cannot stop thinking of you. You've been gone away from here, shedding the tears, crying aloud for once, 'cause you were such a precious part of me, and there's no one to fill my broken heart. Oh, but now